God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, 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 and the you. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Midweek Power Nugget, where 15 minutes of your day can change, will change. If you give God the 15 minutes, He will give you back a changed life. So grateful to God that He has given us another opportunity to be in His presence. Let us pray. Father, we love you today and we adore you. God, we magnify you because there is none like you. God, we reverence you because you are the creator of the universe, but yet and still you are not too far away, nor are you too grand to love on your children. God, we love you today, and we thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life's plan. There is nothing we could have done to earn this moment. There is nothing we could have done to deserve your goodness, your greatness, your mercy, and your love towards us. Now, God, speak to your people. Speak to your people in a way they've never been spoken to before. God, speak and bring your word forth, God, that will change lives, that will reset focus, God. God, that will give us power to get through the rest of the week. God, we thank you for those that have assembled, and we pray for those that, for whatever reason, have not come together on today. God, I pray that you will bless them as well. Now, God, bless our time together in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you who counted and not robbed you to take of some of your sleep time, preparation time, to hear what the Lord would have to say. On this morning, we have a familiar passage of Scripture. It comes from Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to start at the 11th verse. Luke 15, starting at verse 11. We are going to read from the New American Standard Bible, yours, if you have your Bible open, might read a little differently. The Bible reads as follows from the New American Standard Version, Luke 15. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of that country, and they sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and that no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired hand have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. His father said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For the lost son of mine was dead, and has come to life again. He was lost, and has been found. And they began to celebrate. And the word of the Lord is blessed. On this morning from this very familiar passage of Scripture, I want to talk about the joy in returning to the presence of God, the joy in returning to the presence of God. Again, you all, this familiar passage, it speaks to the volume of the heart of our Father. It also speaks to the deceitful tricks of the enemy. But it ends in the joy and the restoration that comes when we return to the presence of God. In this story, we see the younger son of the two sons of the father basically demanding his inheritance and leaving home. Now, you have to understand that in that time, if there was any inheritance to be had by any son, because daughters were not a part of receiving inheritance, but an inheritance, but that's a whole different story for a whole different day. But at that time, if a son desired his inheritance, he could not get what was quote-unquote owed to him until his father was dead. So in essence, what he was saying to his father is, Father, I want my portion, and I don't want to wait until you die for it. So I just want to really consider you dead and give me my portion. Now, even though the Word of God says that he divided his wealth between them, it doesn't say that the older brother asked for his portion. It just meant that the father took the half that he included for the son. The two sons split it up, and that he gave the part that was supposed to go to the younger son, Drew. Now, basically, the enemy always whispers in our ear that there is a better life away from God. He paints this picture of freedom, of excitement, of self-indulgence. And so the young man believes this lie. He set out for another country far from his father's house. I wonder how often we fall for the tricks of the enemy and believe that happiness and fulfillment lie outside of God's will for us. He knows how to make the draw of sin and freedom seem so appealing. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to destruction. So this young man took his wealth. He squandered his wealth in wild living. Then he found himself with no food because a famine hit not only him, but it hit the entire country. It wasn't even an issue where he could go and make friends with somebody and get. No, it hit the entire country. He found himself in dire straits and he had to feed pigs. And he found himself even longing for the pig food. So what does he do? He gets a job. He gets a job, and as he's feeding the pigs, he determines that his life is so much better being at home. See, you all, life away from God seems kind of attractive at first. Just like the prodigal son, you enjoy your newfound freedom in the beginning. It feels like freedom. Then reality hits, sets in, the pleasures of sin. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing about sin that tends to not be appealing. That's why it seems to be so alluring to some. But those pleasures are short-lived. They leave us empty. They leave us wanting more. And we find out, just like we always find out, that the enemy's promise of a better life, of a fun life, of a life that's full of excitement, full of freedom, full of fun, is just a lie. Why? Because he is the father of lies. Instead of joy, we find destruction. Instead of fulfillment, we find loneliness. You all away from his father's house, the prodigal son experienced loneliness and despair. He was away from the love and provision and protection of his father. It's just like him. When we stray away from God, we find ourselves being impoverished. But this way, it's spiritually impoverished. We find our souls longing for what it is that only God can give. When we look in the Word of God, when we read in Luke 15, we find ourselves at a turning point of verse 17. The Bible says, when he came the King James Version says, when he came to himself. How many of us have to have one of those aha moments within ourselves? Nobody is there to tell us. Nobody's there to try and right our wrong. Nobody's there to try and course correct us in our focus. We have to come to the end of ourselves. The young man realized that he really looked at his situation. And then he remembered what he had at home. He remembered what he had at his father's house. He remembered how his father's servants were treated better and they got better and they had more. And this pivotal moment, this turning point, this coming to the end of himself is what precipitated his journey back home. And you all, often we've got to come to our senses and recognize that we need God. We have to recognize and acknowledge our brokenness. We have to acknowledge that we messed up. This young man prepared a whole speech. He was ready to confess. He was ready to beg. Will you just let me have a servant's place? However, as he was walking, Father recognized him. You saw him from a distance. You all, you know that you never get to a place where God doesn't recognize you. You might not be able to see God in your situations and circumstances, but God always knows us. And that father went running to him. He embraced him, kissed him, he missed him, even though his son left him. He still missed his son, and before his son could even finish his rehearsed confession, the father called for a celebration, restored him to his rightful place, dressed him in the best robe, put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, declared and acknowledged that the son that he had that was lost was now found. You all, is that not the heart of our Father? That when we turn back to him, he runs to us. He doesn't make us grovel. He restores us. He covers our shame with his love and with his grace. That father didn't just accept his son back. He celebrated his return. He said, this son of mine that was dead, he's come back to life again. He's lost, now he's found. Because when a sinner repents, my God, when one sinner repents, there is a huge celebration in heaven. Heaven rejoices over one. Because they mimic the God of our salvation. He rejoices when we come back home. So what should we learn from this familiar story? We should never let familiarity limit us from being able to learn from the Word of God. But first of all, we've got to recognize the enemy's lies. We've got to be strong and vigilant against the enemy's deceit towards us. Sure, the world is going to offer us pleasures, but those pleasures are always temporary. But true joy is only found in the presence of God. We've got to acknowledge our need for God. We need to come to our senses and recognize that we need the Father. We've got to be ready to confess and repent, because those are the first steps in returning to him. Not only that, but you all, we have to embrace God's forgiveness and restoration. We can return to God, but if we don't accept his forgiveness, doesn't matter if he forgives us. We've got to accept, we've got to embrace his forgiveness. We've got to embrace his restoration. We are not second-class citizens in the kingdom. We are his children. And we should deserve them. We are worthy. He makes us worthy of stop being celebrated. And you all, finally, we have to remember that there's joy in his presence. And we've got to want to stay close to God. Notice, the father didn't go out seeking for the child, the son. He stayed there waiting on him. You all, we've got to stay close to God. How? By spending time in prayer, or worshiping, or reading his word. You all, the enemy's going to try and lure us away. But we've got to recognize our need for God, repent of our sins, and live in the joy of his presence. Let's pray. Father, we love you today and we adore you. God, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that if there's any of us that are strayed away from you, God, that we will return back unto you. Because, God, we realize that we are nothing without you. God, help us to be your change agents today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God bless day. In Jesus' name.